Hello and welcome to ICF Germany Charters podcast. My name is Anne Schweppenhäuser. Today I'm talking to Antonia Ivkovic. Hello, Antonia. Welcome
Hello.
To the podcast.
Thank you.
The title of our podcast today is Demystifying Trauma in Coaching, to refer or not to refer. Antonia Ivkovic is an ICF holistic healing and business coach and the freshly backed ACC, and she is specialized in trauma skilled coaching. She is originally from Bosnia and Herzegovina. Antonia moved then to Croatia as a child during the Balkan Wars. After completing a MA in English literature and philosophy, she relocated to Germany and began working with refugees. Experiencing trauma from an early age, she acquired various skills and tools to help both herself and her clients. Her mission is to destigmatize the concept of trauma, raise awareness about it, and provide trauma-informed knowledge to professionals, enabling them to maintain a grounded state and offer their clients a safe space for transformation. And according to that, what I just talked about your biography, why is it so important for you to talk about trauma?
Yeah, when I hear everything now, when I think about me being a client, a coaching client, then you get someone with very broad traumatic experience. And more likely than not, we are going to have a client in our sessions with traumatic experiences and coping strategies that probably led this client to the coaching. And those are unwanted behaviors we want to change, limiting beliefs, feeling stuck, having big emotions, believing we can't feel our emotions, and others. And our clients may or may not be aware of the fact that these have something to do with previous or childhood experiences of trauma. And that's where we as coaches can help to partner with the client to make a change. And although we are not going back into the past, it will probably reveal itself during the coaching process, and the client will be able to see the root cause of being stuck and to change that into whichever way they want to. And that's why I think it's very important to talk about trauma, to demystify trauma as being, and destigmatize trauma as being something clinical. It's not always clinical. More likely than not, we are going to have people in our coaching sessions that are under this threshold of clinical trauma, and they never got diagnosed with trauma, but they did have this experience that they still carry with them.
So thank you so much for giving us a background about it. And what's the difference for you between a traumatic experience, a trauma, and a post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, when we speak about trauma, we usually think of post-traumatic stress disorder or a complex post-traumatic stress disorder, but not everything is a clinical trauma. And when we talk about the traumatic experiences, how I often explain it, maybe it's not the best example, but I didn't come up with a better one. I always explain it with the butcher. We too can see someone who is killing an animal, for example. I can be severely traumatized. I can develop post-traumatic stress disorder because I may be vegan. I maybe had my dog killed as I was a child, or whatever reason. And you can be thrilled because you want to have a steak for dinner and he's butchering, a pig. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's the difference. Those are the steps. Those are the stages. Traumatic experience is exposure to actual threats or threatened death or serious injury or sexual violence or witnessing an event. And trauma is what then happens in us because of that, what we saw, what we heard about. And trauma is something that overwhelms our ability to cope. Trauma comes from the Greek word wound. And it's actually just that. It's emotional and psychological reaction to something negative. We get wounded. When we get wounded, it's very important to have someone who is going to help us to go through this process. If we don't have anyone, if we don't have someone to support us, if we don't have enough resilience in us, if we have maybe a history of being ill or not being able to cope with such negative things around ourselves, it is possible that we develop a post-traumatic stress disorder. That would be the third step, I would say. And the post-traumatic stress disorder is then a set of symptoms that emerge most likely within 6 months of a traumatizing event. And they continue for longer than 1 month. For example, that it can be intrusive images, avoidance, negative mood, thoughts and beliefs, flashbacks, insomnia, incapability of falling asleep or staying asleep, and so on. And this third level is where we as coaches need to be aware when referring to a trauma specialist. It's the white paper of ICF. And that's also the reason why I think it's very important for us coaches to be aware of trauma, to know about trauma, because we can't refer if we don't know what are the symptoms and are able to recognize those in the client.
And I think this is very important what you just said, that what should I know if this is a kind of a special coping reaction or if it is a traumatic, it's a reaction caused by a trauma. And is there something else that every coach should know about trauma in order to make this decision to refer a client or not to refer a client?
Yes. Well, actually, there is a lot to know, but there are a couple of simple things, so to say, that every coach should know. And that's, for example, what types of traumas we have. We have acute trauma. It's an isolated event that happened to someone. We have chronic trauma. It's exposure to multiple long-term distressing events or the lack of nurturing. And there is a complex trauma, which is multi-layered. And this type of trauma comes up usually when we had tough, adverse childhood experiences and developed coping strategies. And these are then re-traumatized. And knowing these types of traumas can really help us to decide, okay, is it something I can cope as a coach or not? If not, and that's also, I would say, even the most important thing. If I have a feeling I can't cope with that in my client, or I don't have enough knowledge or experience, then I'm going to refer. That's number one. What's also important to know, it's different between, I call them the big T's and the small T's, big traumas and small traumas, or clinical and non-clinical trauma. When we see PTSD symptoms, we need to refer. It's also important to partner with the client in this case. Many times I've heard coaches saying, I'm not going to even coach that client. I always say go to the psychologist and then come back. I don't think like that. I think we are there to say openly to the clients what we just saw, what we just heard, what we think, and ask them, what do they think about it? And I think it's very important to stay in the partnering arena with a client. We can't send anyone anywhere if they don't want to go.
And the issue as well is the client opened up with you and you say, okay, this is probably more than I can cope with as a coach. And then it sometimes takes about half a year or a year to get a place within a psychotherapy or within a psychologist. And then to say, okay, stay stuck in your situation and come back when you're happier or when it is gone somewhere.
Yes, and that's not something you want to do. Of course, it's easier to coach clients that have had therapy and are coming to the coaching sessions right now. But I don't see a problem giving coaching sessions parallel to therapy or before therapy, as well as after therapy. As long as we stick to our coaching agreement and we as coaches, we have our coaching hat and we are not getting into the therapist role or whichever role. And that's also very, very important for the clients, especially those who have traumatic experiences. This security, these boundaries, it's something that gives them security. We often think, okay, I want to help, and then I will move my boundary a little bit here, a little bit there. That's not what's helping. What's helping is to have steady, clear, transparent boundaries. And that's how we can help the client.
And how do you describe trauma-aware, sensitive, informed, skilled coaching?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, all in one.
All in one.
I would say that those are also the levels of coaching, of being aware. I remember at the beginning, I wasn't even aware of my own traumas back then. And as soon as I learned about trauma, what it is, how can it show itself, and that people actually react, think, and move because of themselves, not to do something to me or for me. I think I was already trauma aware and just trauma sensitive. I would say that's the first step, becoming aware of the fact that trauma is all around us. And trauma is not only that what we are clinically seen clinically, but trauma is also a wound that can happen every day to everyone. And trauma can also be, my dog has died. I don't feel very well about it. It was my whole world. That's also trauma. And it's very important to know that. The next step would be trauma-informed coaching. I would say it's when we, I call it the three R's. Realizing the trauma is all around us, recognizing how it affects individuals, when we understand how trauma shows up as coping strategies, beliefs, behaviors, dissociation, passive aggressiveness, communication problems, and so on. And those unwanted behaviors we usually get in the coaching. And the third are responding. When we know how to act, when we know how to regulate ourselves and the clients, when we ask the client prior to the coaching session, what do you do when those big emotions come? How do you regulate yourself? What was helping? What do you think could help if something like that happens? And then being able to recognize that when it comes, because usually our clients are not going to be able. But when we are listening to our clients, when we are being present with them, we are going to see that they are breathing differently, that tone of their voice changes. And then we can see the moment when where we ask, do you remember your strategy? Would now be a good moment to use that? That's something we can do for our clients. And then enable and empower them to become able themselves. It's also important on the level of trauma-informed coaching to stay within our coaching agreement and in our coaching seat, to have compassion for our clients. It's more than empathy, I would say, when we partner with the client to make a change. And to be informed about different system, about the nervous system, about the window of tolerance, about the brain-body connection, and so on. And then I would say there is like this next level of coaching, trauma-skilled coaching, when we have developed our listening skills so much that they have become immersed. We take into consideration the whole person, the cultural, the social, the economic setting of the person. And we listen to all of that in this very moment. And to be able to do that, we really do free ourselves from our ego. And that's also, it's always an issue at the beginning, like my client has a goal and I need to take him from A to B, and then listening to what client says and thinking about, okay, is this resonating with his goal or not? If yes, what I'm going to say, if not, what I'm going to say. So we really need to get free of that. Just be present in the moment without expectations. Because only when being without expectations, something can change. And I call that the art of space holding. I think it's one of the most important skills a coach can have. When we sit with the client, not with his situation, but with the client as the whole person, and we honor anything that comes up for the client. We are free of the judgments. We are free from our ego. We don't dive in too quickly. We give them space, we give them time, and we are comfortable with the silence. I think that's one of the most important things, to be comfortable with the silence. And very often I ask my colleagues how many times do they sit with themselves in silence. That's how I started practicing that, because I can't sit with your silence if I'm not able to sit with my own silence. It's very, very hard at the beginning. I think my maximum time was a minute after a couple of weeks, but with some exercise and with some time, I think it's really the most important skill. And of course, asking questions, that's what we coaches do. Asking powerful questions, asking short and precise questions. Trauma can't understand complicated questions. We need to stay simple and just stay within those powerful questions that evoke awareness about the small pieces that are coming up. And I just wanted to say there is this last professional advanced, I would say, a trauma-informed coaching level, but I think we are all advanced in one way or another, because all of us coaches, we learn new skills, we learn new methods, and we all have some of those methods that are trauma-informed and that can help clients that have traumatic experiences. For example, NLP, integral eye movement therapy, core transformation, breath work, trauma-sensitive yoga, and all of those skills are trauma-informed, if someone didn't know.
Thank you so much for reminding the community as well of the skills of a professional coach, not only to use with people with trauma or traumatic experience, as well with the others too, because creating that space is so helpful. Yeah. And what or how can trauma-skilled or trauma-informed coaching help traumatized client, if I may say so.
Yeah. Well, what I saw and what I see every day in coaching is that the most important thing we can do is to bring the client from the head into the body. And we can use the breath, we can use the body to send signals to the brain. We can access and reduce the negative influence of the past, although we don't dig in the past. And we can be present with the client and empower the clients to be present with themselves. And that's what's really helping. It's also important to know that there is no one answer, there is no one technique or method that suits every client. Every client is unique and every trauma is unique. And sometimes we need to try many methods until we find something that's working, but that's why we have the client on the other side and we see them as capable, and we can always ask them what can help. And if we give enough silence for them, they are definitely going to come up with that what's going to help them. What coaching also can help to is to reduce the effect of stress, to reduce the effect of trauma on health, also on burnout. On the nervous system level, burnout is a shutdown. We can know things about nervous system and we can recognize those in our clients. We can find safe and supportive strategies for transformation for our clients. And of course, we can increase awareness, the connection with others, co-regulate, which is very important, find a hopeful outlook, self-regulation, grounded state, self-care, autonomy. There are so, so many things that coaching can do for a client. And we as coaches, I think we can be a model of safe connection and nurturing presence for those clients. Well, that's usually what they are missing. And that's how we can increase their self-regulation, build their resilience, self-awareness, and of course the choice, because most likely they're not, they are going to be thinking they don't have a choice. We can show them that they do have a choice.
Thank you so much as well for reminding us of certain tools and approaches. And one question, probably, are there some side effects that need to be considered when working with a client with a trauma, as I may say so? And what can you do as a coach or to protect yourself and to protect your clients?
Yes, definitely. I think it depends on us, on our level of awareness and development, and that's very individual. But what we always can do is to remain grounded and client-focused, but not to forget ourselves. I think it's very important to have a good preparation for the coaching. We always develop ourselves as coaches as well. And I think it's very important to become aware of our state before the coaching, to balance ourselves and to ground ourselves. And we can always ground ourselves, not only before and after the coaching, but also during the coaching, and stay completely present with the client at the same time. And we need to practice self-care. We need to practice self-reflection regularly, monitor our inner responses. I always ask what feelings may be influencing my words and my actions. Do I take enough rest? Do I sleep enough? Am I taking care of myself? Is this a situation that exceeds my coaching agreement or professional boundaries, and so on? There are so, so many things we can ask ourselves, but we also can take time and write those questions for ourselves. And then we never go unprepared. appeared into the coaching session. For me, it's also very important to know that I need to be nice to myself. I will probably make some mistakes or ask something what I later on reflect on, like, I shouldn't have asked that. That's completely normal. I think it's also important to know how to keep myself and the client safe, to know regulating and stabilizing practices and techniques, to remain aware of what's happening, and to have regular supervisions, appointments with my colleagues, mentors, and so on. And just stay grounded and regulated. That's what I would say at the end.
So thank you so much. And do you have a recommendation for all our listeners that are listening in Germany or other places in this world, probably about coaching, probably about trauma, or another message that you'd like to convey right now?
Yes, I do. It's something that helped me. It was look inside yourself, because when we look inside ourselves, more likely than not, we are going to find something there. So don't be afraid, because it gives you a huge opportunity to cope with that and to be able to recognize that in your client. And I'm sure that now I'm able to recognize many things within my clients, because I was able to recognize them within myself. So don't be afraid of finding whatever in yourself that you maybe don't want to find when you become aware, and when you just say hello to it, usually it disappears. It just wanted to be seen.
Thank you so much for this very helpful, very precise and concise concept of accessing trauma in coaching and knowing the boundaries. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
The ICF podcast is a journalistic offering of ICF Germany and provides a colorful bouquet of entertaining and informative content. The statements of the interview partners do not necessarily represent the position of ICF Germany.